Welcome, and thank you for standing by. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. After the presentation, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. If you would like to ask a question, you may press star one. Today's conference is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. I will now turn the call over to Deputy Secretary James Spillane. Thank you. You may begin.
Thank you very much. Good afternoon, everybody. James Spillane, Deputy Secretary of the State. I'm here with Attorney Ted Bromley from the lead staff, and we are looking forward to three of these events. So I'd like to welcome you and thank you in particular on behalf of Secretary Merrill for participating today and for participating in the next two of these election preparation calls. We've made them very easy to remember when they're going to occur. They're Tuesdays at 2, so that's an easy date and time. Every Tuesday at 2 o'clock, we'll be doing an approximately 30-minute long call. And remember, as the facilitator mentioned at the beginning of the call, there will be plenty of time for question and answer after Ted finishes his presentation. Remember that everybody is on mute now, and there were instructions on how to raise your hand, as it were, for asking a question. Today's topic is preparing for Election Day registration. As you know, it was launched last year and went fairly smoothly, but we're expecting a much larger turnout in a statewide election, so we need to be ready for that. The next one on the 21st is best practices for election officials, and finally, Election Day review on October 28th. And remember, just to be prepared, we've scheduled calls to go over recount procedures if necessary on November 5th and November 6th. With that said, I want to reserve as much time as possible for the presentation of questions, so now I will turn the program over to Senior Attorney Ted Bromley.
Thank you, Deputy Spillane. Good afternoon, everybody. This is Ted Bromley from the Elections Division, and as the deputy said, we have a few topics coming forward on each of the Tuesdays, and for this Tuesday, we have just some reminders about preparing for EDR, and you'll notice that this is sort of a theme that we have been discussing with you with the registrars' conferences and also this conference call as well. We all know that we had a dry run or a test run of EDR for the municipal election, but again, as I've said, and I know that the deputy has said, and everybody has said, even the secretary, that you know, there's only so much analysis you can do when turnout is lighter and things of that nature. So, with that in mind, as we move forward, we're just going to sort of give you some important reminders as we anticipate a higher turnout for the upcoming state election. So the first is what we are doing on our end, and what we will hope that you will do on your end is first is to maximize the opportunity to register to vote in advance. You know that you've seen, and I know the secretary has done a good job of trying to remind voters of the upcoming voter registration deadlines, particularly the deadline that is fast approaching for mail-in voter registration and online voter registration. So we will continue to remind voters of those upcoming deadlines rather than take the tact of, you know, don't worry about those deadlines. You can always register to vote on Election Day. So what we're going to do is we've been promoting voter registration, especially online, and we hope that that will minimize the need for a voter to use the Election Day registration process. And I think I've been approached by many of you, and I know the secretary has as well, saying that the online tool makes it especially easy for the individual to register to vote, but also for you to process it well. I think that it cuts down on some of the office tasks that you need to do, especially when reviewing an online voter registration. We would hope that you as local officials might want to also promote the online voter registration locally through any type of press release or appropriate resources that you have at the town level. In addition, you may also want to promote the voter registration lookup tool in advance so that individuals will know whether or not their information is accurate. whether or not they need to come in to you and make a change to their voter registration or a transfer, or you know whether they need to come in and somehow register to vote if they're not. You know, a lot of people we run into feel as though they're registered to vote, or they think they've registered to vote, or they swear that they've voted in every election, and come to find out maybe they're a non-resident property owner and all they're doing is voting in local referenda. So anything that you can do at the local level to encourage people to not only register to vote early but also to check their status in advance, I think will help all of us. The second reminder is the estimating of the number of Election Day registrations in your town. Now, I know on our handout, the little booklet that the group of registrars, town clerks, and our office put together jointly, we gave you a sort of little computation you can perform in which to try to estimate your Election Day voter registration turnout. And that was based upon your presidential ballots and taking a certain percentage of that. Alternatively, what we've also found is that perhaps you can assume 50% turnout of registered voters in your town and then calculate a 2.5 to 5.5 additional turnout. And I think that in anticipation of this phone call, we also sent out to you... Yeah, and I think we'll send it again if we haven't sent it out, an attachment which we sort of did a very quick calculation for you in terms of the number of presidential ballots and then for an estimate of EDR, and then also we took into account the total number of active registrations in your town and a 55% turnout with a 2.5 to 5% increase. So you'll understand what we're talking about. When we send it out, in addition, I think we might have sent it out in advance of the phone call as well. The third reminder is the estimate of your need for additional staff or computers. In the memo that we sent out in 2013, we recommend or advise one additional staff member for every anticipated 100 EDR voters. And also, we recommended to have multiple terminals accessing CVRS simultaneously. So basically, we just want you to anticipate the flow of the not only of your staff and processing it, but also just keep in mind the flow of your location as well. I know that we had talked in depth at the registrar's conference about talking about even the room in which you're going to have the Election Day registration in, and whether or not that room, although it might have accommodated a 30% turnout or a 20% turnout in your town, whether or not you think it'll accommodate a 60% or 70% turnout. So that's always good to think about in terms of the flow as well. You know, if you get a whole line of voters, are they going to be, applicants, are they going to be bumping into one another? Is there going to be enough room? Do you have enough table space or counter space to fill out a voter registration card, and then simultaneously, do you have enough table space or counter space to then have that individual be able to, you know, darken the ovals on a ballot once that process is done? So any type of flow or room that you can think of, or any type of setup scenario, you know, we just want you to start thinking about that. Hopefully you've already been thinking about it as we move forward. Another thing that we had brought up was the communication between the polls and other towns regarding EDR voters. Many of you had spoken to me at the most recent conference about, you know, having additional phone lines or maybe even additional cell phones available for your poll workers at the polling location. A couple of other things that our office sort of has investigated for you is, for a minimum cost, if it is something you can do in your town, you can certainly get one of those pay-as-you-go cell phones for the polling places. But alternatively, there are some neat tricks using things such as Google, where you can assign different phone numbers to a cell phone, and it'll actually act as if it's a different phone so that you're not giving out a personal cell phone number and things. And we'll actually put an attachment on our email that we send to you again, detailing that in case it's something that you're interested in pursuing. The other thing that I talked about a little bit already was sort of, was managing your EDR lines effectively. That only not talks about, That only not talks about reviewing your polling place setup and the way that you're doing it to make sure that you have enough room to accommodate the individual voters. But it also talks about things such as the voters may not understand, for instance, that if they've moved within your town, that they may not need to use the EDR process. That would be something that would be important and beneficial for all of us to let the voters know. And I know many of you already have somebody that will walk up and down the EDR lines to the extent that they get long, advising people and sort of telling them what the process is and maybe double-checking to make sure that they indeed need to use the EDR process as opposed to maybe a in-polling place transfer or something of that nature. So I think that's very good, and for those towns that use it, that's fantastic. For those towns that are anticipating some type of larger turnout, you may want to consider somebody that would sort of help you manage the line. Another thing is perhaps you have some type of terminal or an iPad or something of that nature, a mobile device, that would enable people to use the voter lookup tool while they are in line. And in terms of the voter lookup tool, we do anticipate updating that more frequently and also updating it to the minute just before Election Day so that it will be as current as possible for those individuals who have registered to vote prior to Election Day. And the final thing about managing your line you might want to think about is, you know, having voter registration forms available for the people that wait in line so that they can be actively filling it out so that when they approach you, they've already had all that done and you don't have to somehow shepherd them aside and have them fill it out prior to you handling the Election Day registration situation. Okay, and I've got a couple of other reminders here. The first is to review your emergency plan. To make sure that it includes an EDR contingency. Now, when we did those emergency plans a couple of years ago, EDR might not have been on the forefront of your planning, but now that it is actively involved in the election process, take a look at that emergency plan and make sure whatever is in it would actually accommodate an Election Day registration situation. You know, suppose the Election Day situation, the Election Day registration site, wherever that is, maybe that building has a fire alarm. You know, what do you do there? Are, you know, is the staff that are working those locations, are they ready and able to assist voters to get out of the building or whatever happens? So just give that a review to make sure that that it does in fact include some type of contingency for that. Now, a couple of other things which you will actually be receiving additional materials from our office about. So the first one is the 8 o'clock cutoff for EDR. Now, I know that after the presentation that I did at the Registrar's Conference most recently, there was a lot of questions and perhaps even some confusion about the Election Day registration cutoff. And I guess, in addition, some requests for some clarification on that. So we have actually done an addition or a memo to you that we will send out after this conference call regarding the 8 o'clock cutoff for Election Day registration and try to make it as bright line of a rule as possible for that so that hopefully going into this Election Day registration period, there will be no further confusion. But basically the short summary of the opinion will be that 8 o'clock means 8 o'clock. An individual will have had to finish or complete the EDR process by 8 o'clock. And then, of course, once they are a registered voter at that point, then they can continue to vote a ballot after 8 o'clock, but they actually have to finish the voter registration portion of EDR by 8 o'clock. And that is the bright line rule that we are giving you. I know that at the registrar's conference we had talked, gone down that slippery slope of what if somebody's in line, et cetera. So we're trying to make it as bright line as possible. 8 o'clock means 8 o'clock. And you'll be getting, again, be getting that from us via email once that this conference call is complete. And finally, the other issue that we were discussing at the conference was the use of the online voter registration system, and you will also be getting information from us that that system may not be used to enroll EDR voters, and in fact, we will be making a change to the website to indicate that and putting information on there for a voter that once they've missed the mail-in deadline for use with the online voter registration process, instructions about how they can register to vote either in person or on election day. But that online voter registration link will actually be, disabled, for lack of a better word, after the 14-day cutoff. Now, there's a couple of other housekeeping things that I want to bring up with regard to some of the things that we are looking to be have filed with our office prior to the election. Now, I'm going to read off about 17 towns that have yet to file with us either a certificate of ballot order, a certificate of polling place and moderator, or where their EDR location will be in town. So again, I'm going to read these off. If your town is one of those, please make sure that you're going to file with us either the certificate of ballot or the certificate of polling place and moderator or the EDR location. So I've got Bethany, Bridgeport, Brooklyn, Burlington, Clinton, Eastford, East Haven, East Lyme, Enfield, Essex, Farmington, Hamden, Hartford, Kent, Killingly, Morris, New Fairfield, New Haven, Newington, Norfolk, North Branford, North Canaan, Orange, Oxford, Plainfield, Pomfret, Portland, Prospect, Putnam, Reading, Ridgefield, Roxbury, Salisbury, Sharon, Shelton, Summers, Sprague, Samford, Thomaston, Thompson, Union, Vernon, Voluntown, Wallingford, Warren, Washington, Waterford, Westbrook, West Haven, Wethersfield, Windham, and Wolcott. And again, please file that information with us. It'll help us immensely in troubleshooting any problem that you may have locally if a caller calls us, rather than referring them to you or adding additional phone calls. Perhaps we can help you out with that. You want to file that with Heather from our office, and we will. And her email address is Heather, Heather, dot Ogieri, Augeri, at ct.gov. And that would be fantastic, and that would help us out immensely in terms of that. Now, let me just make sure that we have gotten everything else. Okay. All right. So just as a follow-up, one quick thing. So as I said, after this phone call, you will receive, and you will receive again if for some reason you receive some of these attachments, because I know in advance of this, in anticipation of this call, we did send out some of it. You're going to receive our EDR instructive memo, the EDR clarification about the 8 o'clock, the online voter registration clarification, the instructions for setting up a Google number if you're looking for that, a spreadsheet about the estimation of the number of EDR ballots by town. I know we've sent the link out for the voter lookup tool. We'll send that again. And also information about who to email at the Secretary of State for that information from those towns that I've already sent. So at this point, I think that that I'm done talking for now, and we will open it up if anybody has any questions.
At this time, we will begin the question and answer session. To ask a question, please press star 1 and record your first and last name. If you wish to withdraw your question, please press star 2. We have a question from Lynn McNamee. One moment. Lynn, your line is open.
Thank you, Ted. I have a question in regards to using the Google phone number. If a poll worker then uses their cell phone for that, does it become subject to FOIA?
You know, I think if they use it, I mean, if you're talking about if somebody wants to FOI the call log, you know, I don't particularly know. That's something actually that I, off the top of my head, I don't know. I mean, we can run it by FOI to see, but I mean, just simply that the poll worker or the moderator made a phone call, I'm not sure would be subject to FOI. But you know what? Just to make sure, we'll run it by them and we'll let you know.
Thank you.
Thank you. Your next question comes from Nancy Moore. Thank you. Your line is open.
Yes, I don't have a question. I just wanted to say we have emailed those forms 2 times already, once to Taffy and once to Heather. I'm not sure why you haven't received it.
I'm sorry, which town are you?
Westbrook.
Westbrook. Okay. We'll make a note of it.
Okay. Thank
Thanks.
You.
We sent it twice. The ballot certification.
Yeah, so Westbrook, we have you down as receiving the EDR location and as well as the moderator polling place, but we're missing how many ballots you ordered?
We sent that at the same time.
Ah, okay. Well, we'll take a look for it then. Thank you.
Your next question comes from Catherine Lewis. Go ahead. Your line's open.
Hi, Ted. I have a question about testing the ballots. Where do we have to post that we're testing it for the public? Does it have to be in the newspaper or just up on the board at Town Hall?
Yeah, no, that's a good question. What the regs say is that you need to notify the 2 town chairs. We encourage you, if you have, you know, local minor parties of any kind, that you do that as well. And then you just post it publicly wherever you would post in your town hall. So if you have the capacity to put it on your town website, that would be great. If you have a signpost at the town hall, you can put it there as well. And then what we do for the bigger campaigns, like the gubernatorials and whatnot, we just send a letter out saying, hey, listen, if you're interested in a town, call the local officials down there to find out when they're doing it.
Thank you.
Yep.
Your next question comes from Joanne Perlman from Reading. Go ahead.
Hi there. Regarding the 8 p.m. cutoff for EDRs, if we are going to have our EDRs at Town Hall, but the election is at the community center, what if somebody walks in at 8:02 to register? Can we then send them back to the community center to vote?
Well, no, because your EDR location will handle both the registration and the voting. So as long as they've completed the EDR process, then you would just hand them a ballot at that same location.
Okay. Okay. I thought we were thinking we might be in 2 different locations, but we need to have the EDRs at the polling place, correct?
No, it can't be at the polling place. Okay, so let's rewind a little bit. So the EDR location can't be at a polling place because by the very definition of it, you are having non-registered voters entering this location first, okay? And we all know that there's a statute that says that only registered voters can be within 75 feet and within the polling place.
Oh, right.
So taking all of that statutory stuff together, it is that an EDR location cannot be at a polling place. It has to be at an alternative location, one that has access to the centralized voter registration system. So you set up an alternative location. You use that location to register them to vote. Once they're registered to vote, at that same location, you have a mechanism to hand them a ballot, vote it. And then much like an absentee ballot, you're going to put it in an EDR envelope, which is sealed. With a bunch of information on the front, and then you will handle them just like you would absentee ballots, meaning that you would hand them off to your absentee ballot counters. The absentee ballot counters would open up the envelope, shuffle them up so that nobody can be connected to their envelope, all that kind of stuff.
Okay. I understand. If we're treating it like an absentee, that's perfectly understandable.
So, Redding, the information you gave us was that your EDR location was going to be at the community center. Now, that's not correct?
You know, I have to apologize. You have two new registrars here.
Okay.
Actually, we're on the ballot. So our current registrars aren't here right now. So, you know, we'll double-check that with them, and we'll make sure we've got it
okay.
The way it needs to be.
And if for some reason that does change, just please let us know so we can help you out.
Okay, you said you have our EDR location as the community center, but you also said we didn't send you those certifications.
Right. The one that you didn't send to us was the polling place report and the moderators.
Okay, we'll get that looked at.
Thank
you.
Thanks.
Your next question comes from George Cody.
Hey, George.
Yeah, I couldn't leave without a question here.
That's fine, George. What's up?
It's a question on the interface with the online registration system, the deadline for which is obviously the 21st.
Yes.
The lookup being done by the town clerks, do their lookup, will it exclude anyone who registers online after the 21st or between the 21st and their mailing of the absentee ballot? Because otherwise it will appear on the voters list. Their name will appear on the list that they look up on, but they won't be eligible to vote.
Right. Okay, George. Something
to look up.
I'm really sorry. I missed, like, the first part of your question. So what was it again? Where are they going to appear? I apologize.
Well, as you're doing the online voter registration,
yes.
Anybody who does it after the 21st.
Yes.
They won't be eligible for the election.
Yes.
Online.
Right.
But will it be updating the master file so that when the town clerks go in to use their function to search, they will find the name on the list as eligible to receive an absentee ballot?
Right. Okay, so what we're going to do with the online voter registration, just to set everybody's mind at ease, is we're actually going to disable it after the cutoff. So after the 14th day, so, you know, 12:01 on the 13th day, when somebody clicks on that, they're going to go to a page that says, we're sorry, the deadline to use the system has passed. You can register to vote in person, or you can register to vote on election day, et cetera. So they won't be able to use it after the deadline. So that situation, as I understand it, I hope I'm understanding your question, won't happen. We're just going to just cut it off so there's no judgment in play at all.
That solves the problem.
Okay, good.
All right.
Question comes from Karen Chase.
Hey, Ted, we're just wondering what information it is that you do not have from us.
Okay, what town?
Kent.
Let me see here. Do, 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 do.
You get to play music and everything?
Yes. Change Kent. Okay, I have your polling place report, but the records indicate that I don't have the number of ballots you ordered.
Okay. Okay, that we have today. We're going to send out.
Perfect.
Okay, perfect. That's all we needed to know. Thank you.
Your next question comes from Mike Niedlich from Brooklyn.
Hi, Ted.
Hey, Mike. What's going on?
Well, I have copies of the certification of ballot order and the polling place list in my hand. It was sent last Tuesday.
Okay. Okay, so do me a favor. Just send me – what I have is that I have your ballot order, but I don't have the list of polling places and moderator, and I also don't have where you're going to do your EDR. So if you just shoot that to us, you'll be all set.
Yeah.
Okay,
right,
thank you very much.
Another one. We just sent another polling place list.
You know what we're going to do, guys, so that we don't have this question repeat, is we'll send out the spreadsheet that I'm working off of so that you all see what we're missing from you so that, you know, we don't bog down on this call with that. And the other thing I wanted to let you know is that we're going to put all of the EDR information that we've been talking about on our website. It's there now at www.sots.ct.gov. Under the elections section, there's a link for election officials, communications from LEAD, and then there's EDR memos, and they'll be right there.
Okay.
Your next question comes from Linda Culturera from Newington.
Go ahead, Cindy.
Hi, Ted. It's Cindy in Newington. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good, thanks. Just a quick question. Can the EDR moderator, after they register them, can they just hand the ballots out, or do we have to have a ballot clerk?
No, it's not a polling location, so you don't have to have all those officials. So whomever you assign that task would be fine. It doesn't necessarily have to be appropriately labeled a ballot clerk, but you certainly, again, in thinking about your flow, you might want to think about having somebody, especially in a town like yours where you have a few different voting districts and maybe even a few different ballot styles. You may not want somebody to be multitasking, but no, you don't need a specific named official to do that.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Again, to ask a question, please press star 1 and record your first and last name. Your next question comes from Pam Lacashew. Your line is open.
Hi, Ted. This is Pam.
Hi.
My question is, I said you're going to be sending additional information via email, but as regards the 8 o'clock cutoff time,
yeah.
You said the individual have to complete the EDR process for registration. So what does complete mean? Does that mean that they have now been fully entered into the system by us? In other words, the EDR process, in my mind, isn't complete until we have completed their registration. Is that accurate?
Well, in terms of what the in terms of what we said in the memo is that basically, once you have done the cross-checking, well, so to speak, and you've accepted the voter, they've sort of completed the EDR process on your end. So what we're really talking about is that if it's a brand-new voter, you've checked EDR, and they are not registered anywhere else in Connecticut, at that point you can accept them as a voter.
Okay.
If we're talking about a cross-town, we're simply saying that, hey, you've checked the EDR, I've identified them as being registered to vote in a separate town, and you contacted that separate town. Now, we didn't go so far as to require a return phone call from that other town because the statute doesn't necessarily require that. But it certainly does require that. So that's what we're talking about when we talk about completing it. And we do detail in the memo those two specific scenarios for you so it's spelled out.
Okay, thank you.
Yep.
Your next question comes from Betty Torrey from Wallingford. Excuse me. Your line is open.
Thank you. Hello?
Hello.
We would like to know here in Wallingford what it is that we haven't sent you as well.
Hold on one second. All right. So I have that we were missing both the moderator and polling place report and the ballot certification report, but we received the moderator's report recently, so we're just looking now for the ballot order certification report. Did we lose somebody?
Okay.
Hello?
Yes.
Okay, great.
There are no further questions at this time.
Thanks. All right. Trish, this is James Spallone. I was just going to wrap this up, if that works.
That'll be just fine.
Okay. Can we hold on 1 second, please?
Yes, sir.
All right. First of all, I want to, again, on behalf of Secretary Merrill, thank you for participating in this call. We look forward to working with you from now through November 4th. And we also have two more calls, of course, next week, same time, same place, same station, and also on the 28th. So thank you for your questions. Keep them coming, and we'll get this right. This is a team effort. And speaking of that, I'd like to just take an opportunity to, I'm sure with many of you, our thoughts and prayers and concerns have been with Judy Boudreau, who's made such many contributions to the development of election administration in the state and has been had a serious medical condition. And she has worked with this office over many years, training many officials and helping to to professionalize and improve election administration. So we'll be thinking of her as well. Again, thank you for participating in this call, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thank you. This concludes today's conference. Participants, you may disconnect at this time.